Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Big Move Podcast. I am your host from the blog The Lipstick Fever, and today I have another NYC boss babe coming your way. So, popularly known as DJ Rosé, Nicole Stillings is one of New York's most in-demand DJs. Her glam house style can be heard from anywhere from Coachella to Super Bowl to Art Basel and more. As a full-time entrepreneur, she's an advisor to Out East Rosé and founded her own headphone brand, Rosé Rockers. Nicole recently launched her own podcast called Sup Babe, a one-stop shop to help young women live their best lives with trends, pro tips, and PSAs. She's recently worked on campaigns with Revolve, Neiman Marcus, Blue Revival, Alice and Olivia, WeWork, and more. With 100K followers plus, her digital authority boasts the perfect balance of fashion meets lifestyle, music, and entrepreneurship. She is also a board member of UNICEF Next Gen and vice chair of their annual Next Up concert, as she believes the world's children are the way forward. Hope you guys enjoy this episode, and let's just jump right into it. Nicole, hi. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Hello, Em. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Me too. So really quickly, I want to chat on how we originally connected, because I think it's kind of relevant for this episode with the whole women supporting women and networking chat that we're going to kind of have. So you and I connected through our mutual friend, Andrea. And she literally just introduced us over Instagram, DM. You and I had our first chat like literally 2 weeks ago. And then here we are today and we're doing a little podcast swap.
I would say like shout out Andrea. She's amazing at introducing people that are like the right vibe, you know?
Yeah. Completely. So anyway, it's great to connect. Thanks again for coming on. You are joining me on a bit of like a virtual coffee date. So speaking of coffee, what is your go-to?
So in the morning, the first thing I do is I literally chug a whole bottle of water. Like before I even leave my bed, I put bottles of water next to my bed at night. I'm psycho. And then, yeah, I have a coffee every morning. I've just been making, this is like a guilty pleasure, but Dunkin' Donuts hazelnut. Don't make fun of me.
That sounds delicious. I love a good hazelnut. I love a good French vanilla. Trust me, I am here for it.
Wait, but also this is a really good hack. I actually put MCT oil into my coffee so that I get an extra kick and some protein so that I'm not like, you know how sometimes if you just drink a coffee, you're busy, you don't have time to eat till noon, you might be shaky. The MCT oil, like kind of, you know, it's from Kitsu. It's called Super Coffee is the brand. It's like Super Coffee Creamer. It's all natural. I don't even like work for them. It certainly sounds like it, but
I love that you shared that. I am a bulletproof coffee fan. So I like the life hack. I like the MCT oil creamer.
Okay. Yes. Have you had bulletproof coffee like fresh from Whole Foods?
No, need to.
Oh my God. It's amazing. And you kind of feel like Superwoman when you drink it.
Okay. I'm here for it. I love that. Okay, cool. Well, we're going to jump right into it. We have so many things that I want to chat with you on, but to kind of bring it back to basics, where are you originally from and where did you grow up?
I grew up in St. Louis. I knew literally from a sixth grader when I went for my birthday to New York with my mother that New York City had my heart. Like I came home, I was 12. I told my mom, "Mom, guess what? I'm moving to New York." And she was like, "Calm down. You're 12. Like, relax. Why don't you figure out what you're going to do and stuff like that first?" So I went to Emory. It's in Atlanta, for those of you who don't know. And I picked it because when I went there and visited, I met a ton of New Yorkers. And I was like, this looks like a nice little like stopping, like a layover, right? Like a layover on a flight, like did a little jump to a bigger city. And then I made the jump to New York. And quite frankly, I just hate cold weather. So now I might be making like a jump to Florida in this pandemic.
I don't blame you at all, but I love that you kind of have been a hustler from a young age, it sounds like.
So to
that ambitious 12-year-old.
I love it. So where would you say your career kind of really started for you after college?
Yeah, so I graduated in 2009, which was, you know, things were still rough from the last financial crisis we had in 2008, you know. So I was lucky. I applied for a ton of jobs. I networked like you. I think I used LinkedIn to find an Emory alumni who had just launched a marketing firm. And I had been working in college at Weber Shandwick, which was good because I had agency experience. So I got hired. I literally moved 2 days after graduation. There was no time for play. I came to New York. I had a weekend to find an apartment, settled on something overpriced but cute in the West Village, walked up 4 flights. Ass was looking great back then, just saying. And, you know, and then I just kind of kicked off in marketing, and I had already been, I was basically working full time my senior year because I only had to take a yoga credit, but didn't want my parents to know because I wanted to stay living the good life in college. And yeah, New York was like, for me, it was really eye-opening. And that's when I first started thinking, wow, maybe I want to start my own business. Maybe I can do this.
Completely. And it made me think, why are our moves to New York always feeling so rushed? I think that completely resonated with me. The like showing up to New York City with a suitcase and like landing on the apartment the next day. It's always a rushed situation, I feel.
I think it's because every person in New York feels so rushed, right? So like my former boss back then hired me and was like, and by the way, I need you yesterday. And I was like, well, damn, that's not the summer that I had envisioned for myself. However, it's a job and nobody has jobs right now. And my parents were like, we are not fronting your lifestyle in New York City, babe. You want to not work this summer? Get your ass on home. Sure. Yeah. You can sit by the pool at our house and we're not paying rent. Fine. But if you are going to New York City, you are working because that place is too expensive for you to sit around and do nothing.
Completely. I get it. And so when did you become, quote, DJ Rosé? Like, when did that kind of all start for you?
So DJ Rosé is like a part of me, right? There's like Nicole and then there's DJ Rosé. She's like the fun party girl vibe. Nicole's like the really boring, serious vibe. So DJ Rosé was really born. I mean, at first I started wanting to DJ when I was working in marketing. I worked my way up from that small little alumni, you know, marketing agency to being director of social media at Iced Media, running accounts in fashion. You and me both have a passion for fashion. So Ralph Lauren, Diesel, Theory, Swatch, Kmart, QVC. And then during that time, I was so busy, loved some of the things I was doing, but also wildly stressed out because social media back then was not automated. We were working around the clock, felt like I had a boss that I could never do anything right for. She was kind of miserable, but super chic. So that really sucked because I liked her a lot. And I just, you know, I realized I needed a hobby. And that's when I first started DJing. So that was like, we're talking literally like 9 and a half, 10 years ago now. So yeah, I first started learning to DJ in my early 20s and it might just been like house parties or whatever. But DJ Rosé wasn't officially born until a couple years later when I finally decided I would come out in public.
Okay, cool. I love that. So you are obviously like quite the quote, serial entrepreneur. You're kind of a jack of all trades. So outside of like your DJing, what product or brand did you kind of launch first from there?
Yeah. So, I mean, thank you for that, by the way. That's a compliment because in my head, it always feels like there's so much more left to accomplish. And, you know, we've built things, but obviously, you know, they still need to grow. So Rosé Rockers, Rosé Rockers is really the first brand that, you know, I built after DJing. And it took me a while to build the DJ business. I worked on that for a straight, like, I mean, I did other things in the beginning, right, to make ends meet. I think, you know, you and I obviously talked about that. You had a similar experience in your blogging and influencer business as well, you know, where you started that while you were still at an agency. But I had been working on building the DJ business for 6 years. I went full-time a couple years into it when I knew that I could make a salary that would really support my lifestyle. And then, you know, grew that to well above six figures. And then that's when I, you know, I had always had dreams of building a headphone for women that actually looked good, complemented her outfit, it fit her style. Like, why should women be wearing men's headphones? Like, you don't wear boxers, do you?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's really where Rose Rockers was born out of, was kind of a need that I saw when I would wear my bedazzled, blinged out, tricked out headphones in the DJ booth. And women from all over would just come up and talk to me and ask to try them on and want to take photos with them. It just seemed kind of obvious that this was a product that people didn't have access to. And I really always do. I guess I'm kind of like a new age feminist in that way, that I just think women should have access to everything that men have. And technology is an industry that's been very dominated by men, you know, as well as DJing.
Completely. I love that. So now you have me completely sold. I need a pair. My AirPods aren't quite cutting it, you know, from an aesthetic standpoint.
Yeah, they would. You would look so much more fly with a flower halo around your head.
I love it. So was there like a biggest challenge that comes to mind with launching that brand?
Oh yeah, I forgot that part. I tend to always want to talk about the positive stuff, but it's good to talk about these challenges, because I think, you know, maybe there can be learning for other people. But right now, I mean, that business is a new business. If I'm just being fully honest, everything about that business was challenging. And maybe that means that it wasn't the right business. Maybe it is the right business. I think we're still in a learning phase on Rose Rockers. You know, I have been calling that lately a coronavirus casualty, because we should have raised more money now given where we are. You know, we tried to really keep this in-house. I came up with the concept. I went and found people to make prototypes. I built relationships with manufacturers. And then I found a partner and raised some money. We pulled money together. We were able to have about $100,000 to start the company, which I know isn't a lot, but also, you know, in some ways is a lot, you know, to start a business with. And we were really able to do things with our internal teams, relationships, and skill set. She has been CMO of several beauty companies and has experience in manufacturing electronics. So she was a perfect fit for this. She had the same level of passion. We're like sisters. I should connect you, because she also has a beauty company called the Everything Oil, and it's like incredible. So Remind me about that. I'm happy to loop you guys. But yeah, so Rose Rockers, you know, we pulled our money together. We got the product launched. We were doing well this past year through sort of grassroots efforts. It was very organic. You know, people were buying over e-com, through Instagram, over Amazon. And we were, you know, we had enough to really get through to finding a distributor, because our goal was always to be in more mainstream stores to help raise brand awareness. We didn't raise enough to compete with, you know, the e-com brands that you're seeing today, like Away Luggage, right? Where they raised, you know, millions of dollars, and a majority of that was spent on marketing, right? So a lot of our initial investment was spent on perfecting the product, making a really beautiful and high quality headphone that we knew would really add value to women's lives. So we were really looking to grow, and, you know, in an organic way, and we were inches away from partnering with a distributor to make our first big moves into retail, other than just boutiques that we've done. I DJ a lot of trade shows. So, you know, we had that leg up getting into boutiques and building relationships. And then coronavirus hit, and, you know, we're on hold right now. So it's a challenge, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, I like that you highlighted the fact that it's a coronavirus casualty. I think that will resonate with so many people, just in the sense of like, these are unprecedented times and nothing is really straightforward. And I think, you know, if nothing else, it's, you know, a learning time for everyone, and probably for all your businesses. So that's really interesting. What would you say are some of your productivity hacks as an entrepreneur? I think you and I have talked a lot about this, and it's something I've been excited to chat with you about. But with juggling all of your different businesses and all of your projects, are there any sort of tips you could share there?
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, it actually relates to what we were just talking about with Rose Rockers. The biggest thing in productivity is knowing when to just be open to change and going with the flow, right? COVID has brought so many changes into my business world and into my personal life. I also broke up with a boyfriend that I was living with during this. So I'm sure some of your listeners have had a similar situation and can take solace in that. But it's really about just learning to go with the flow. So you might think, okay, I schedule Mondays for this company and I schedule Tuesdays for Rosé Rockers and I schedule Wednesdays for working on events for, you know, the DJ business. But it just never ends up working out like that. You know, there are ways to schedule and we can get into that. And I am a big scheduler, but I think learning to go with the flow and letting the projects that are speaking to you, you know, come to the forefront, the ones that are calling you and the ones that need a break, like just take comfort in letting it sit on the back burner. And that's kind of what we're doing with Rosé Rockers right now. We're as the orders come in, they're trickling in, we'll fulfill them. We're not spending on marketing. We've lowered. I literally went through every expense in the business when COVID first hit and lowered all of it so that we could ride this out as long as possible until we sign that distribution deal. So, or until I can go back to trade shows and pitch it again, you know? So I think just really leaning in on the businesses that have promise right now, that are growing right now, makes sense, right? So, and that's something that we're doing with the podcast. We've seen a lot of traction with Sup Babe. And so then that's where I've been spending more of my time during quarantine. But it's like about kind of about releasing your resistance to change and allowing yourself to be truly called in the direction that you need to be going in right now. And some of that is just being patient and, you know, like you said on our show, just kind of listening to what your intuition is telling you.
Yeah. That's such good advice. Absolutely. It's awesome advice. I think it's something that we all really need to hear right now. And I also just want to add apologies. You have to deal with a breakup during this time. I can't imagine, but you are a trooper. So I have no doubt you'll come out on top there. So Nicole, when we first spoke, you talked to me about rest ethic, which is a new term to me and probably a lot of audience members as well. So what exactly is rest ethic and how have you been able to incorporate that into your work-life balance?
Yeah, that's great. I think rest ethic is something that I've been trying to learn more about. And we actually did a whole episode on this with Max Frenzel, who wrote a whole book on it called Time Off. If you guys want to know more, I'm sure Em can share some info or you can DM us. But rest ethic is really about building, you know, time for yourself to rest and making your ethic around that as strong as your work ethic, right? So for those of us who are driven, like obviously, Emily, you're an entrepreneur. It takes a certain level of drive to even be an entrepreneur, right? And dedication and commitment and scheduling, you know, another great productivity hack. But I think for, you know, to build out your rest ethic is really about carving out time, literally scheduling that in. It's about cultivating a balance, finding rest that serves you. You know, I had to realize that some of the activities that I thought, quote unquote, were rest are not. So scrolling IG, not rest. Watching Netflix, binging Netflix, not rest, right? That's actually numbing your brain. And rest should actually be, if you want to induce more creativity, more new ideas, more happiness into your life, rest doesn't always have to be passive. It can be active. So it's kind of testing new types of rest and seeing what helps spur that creativity, looking to see what gets you into a flow state, looking to see what truly adds more meaning to your life. So for me, one of those things is reading, right? For me, I know that reading books on creativity or even reading novels, reading about different people's ideas. I'm reading a book by Trevor Noah right now that I really like. That is one activity that really helps to spark creativity and feels really restful for me because I'm pulled away from my day-to-day thoughts. I'm not thinking about work. I can't because I'm consumed in the activity that I'm doing, right? So for a lot of people, it could be different things. It could be painting, it could be going for a run, you know? So rest can be very active. And I think oftentimes or traditionally in the media, we think of rest as sleeping, which by the way, naps are a great rest activity and can be rejuvenating for your creativity. But you know, Instagram, Netflix, these things that are traditionally, you know, technology that's traditionally demanding of our attention, that is often not actually rest. If you feel like you need a day to binge, Too Hot to Handle or whatever on Netflix, like, I feel you. I get that. But also make sure that you're carving out, time for activities that might really enrich your life. Does that make sense, how I'm explaining that?
So much sense. And as I sit here, I'm saying to myself, so you mean the trashy reality TV that I watch at night when the baby goes to sleep is not rest ethic?
So I think it just depends on what works for you. You know, everybody's different. And that's why I suggest to test out different activities and see how you feel rested. Like, I know for me that binging TV has to be kept to a minimum because it does not spark creative ideas. And as a person who all of my businesses are founded around creativity, that I have to be in tip-top creative shape or mindset, if you will, I have to do rest activities that help me be my best. Does that make sense?
Makes so much sense. And I'm so glad that you shared all of that. And kind of piggybacking off of rest ethic, something else that I listened to, quite frankly, on your podcast, an episode about finding a better balance with social media, especially during this pandemic. I just think that it is magnified. You know, we are spending even more time on social media and on our phones. It can feel very overwhelmed. I know I am overwhelmed. So how have you kind of been able to find a balance in your own life with this? Do you have any tips you can share?
Like, I'm just gonna be honest, girl. It's fucking hard. Can I say that on here?
Yeah, no, like, for sure. Absolutely.
It's hard. Like, you know, and I think a lot of other influencers feel this way. I'm sure you feel this way. And I've talked to other people that have struggled too, because social media is really one of our greatest sources of interaction right now in this pandemic. However, for you and me, when we log on to Instagram, it is not just work. It is not just play. It is also work, right? So, I mean, I think setting boundaries is really important. I do not use social media on Sundays. Sometimes I don't use my phone on Sundays. When I was dating, I mean, I just had sex on Sundays, right? Easy way to not use your phone and not use social media, but it's not something that you're always going to have the ability to do. But if you set boundaries with yourself, even if it's just a small boundary, right? Like, you don't have to be at the point where you're like, I don't use my phone at all at night. I don't go on Instagram past 8 p.m. Like, that may not be realistic for you. That may be a big jump from where you're currently at. But even just saying, you know, a small thing, like maybe it's 10 p.m. I put my phone down and I don't check Instagram. And also, big tip, make sure it's not the first thing you do when you wake up. Could do a whole different episode on morning routines. And
yes, that's so important.
Yeah. And just like also know when you need a break. If you need to like not post for a week, if you need to take a week off, tell your, you know, DM your best friends that you talk to exclusively over IG chat, tell them, text me. I want to hear from you, but I'm taking a break from IG. Like, let people know where they can find you so that you don't, you know, feel out of the loop, so that you don't have any, you know, so you still have social interaction. But if you need to take a break from Instagram because it is stressing you out, because you're comparing yourself too much to other people, to other people's lives, to influencers that you follow, do it. It is A-okay. Influencers take breaks all the time. I took a break during COVID. I took a break last year after my break-in.
Completely. Yeah, you need to. So we have done a podcast swap, which I'm sure people can imagine is just what it sounds like. We just recorded a podcast episode for your podcast called Sup Babe. And here we are recording one for mine. But can you tell us a little bit more about Sup Babe and what the premise is behind it?
Yeah. So Sup Babe is, we call it a one-stop shop for helping young women live their best lives. It's something that I wish was there when I graduated from college and started on my entrepreneurial journey and wanted more resources. I wanted to kind of, you know, it's kind of a mentorship program in a way, where I wish that there were more women that I could have talked to about how to build a creative business. You know, it's different than building a startup or a traditional business. And I didn't feel like there was a lot out there for me that really resonated with who I was as a person, because I'm not that serious. I'm kind of funny sometimes, but I also, you know, care very much about learning and growing, but I don't want to do it in a boring way, if that makes sense. So self-care is really about education, but you know, under the lens of comedy and self-care.
I love it. I've already binged like 5-6 of your episodes in the past like week before we chatted, and I'm such a fan. So we will link out to it. As well, can you share a quick tip for like budding podcasters? I think as we've been chatting, there are so many new podcasts coming out, and then there are aspiring people that, you know, want to launch their own. Is there something that maybe you wish you knew at the beginning that you could offer?
For sure. Like so much now that we're more than a couple months in. But I think, you know, the first thing is that it's a lot of work. So you should really only do this if you're willing to commit to doing it for 6 months or a year, because, you know, it takes time to build it. And it's going to take you time to get in your flow of what your schedule is like and how you're promoting it and what those assets look like. And you really have to, if you want to be successful in this space, you have to build out a whole brand strategy around it. So if you don't have experience in that, then maybe you should be looking for a partner who has experience in that. Or maybe you have the budget to hire a team that has experience in that and can help you. And another thing that I think for me was something that stalled me. Like I was going to start podcasting like a year and a half ago. And then I had this agent at the time who kept trying to force a network down my throat. And, you know, he is very smart and I'm grateful for everything that I learned from him. But I've learned after going his route and going on to a network, and we now pulled my show and I'm off network, that a network may not be the right fit for me. So if you are sitting there waiting, thinking, I don't want to do this until I'm big enough that someone picks me up, or that I'm big enough that I can pitch, you know, Dear Media or Forever Dog or whatever network it is that you have your sights on, you know, there are actually a lot of benefits to being an independent podcaster. You may grow slower, but it does give you a whole lot more control. And if you can build something, I mean, for me, the show that I'm building now is more meaningful than the slow show that had more celebrity-driven content on it that my network wanted me to build. So that's just, you know, that's a personal thing that if I'm going to work day and night on something, I have to be really, really passionate about it. I have to really feel like this 100% at its core goes with me at my core. Does that make sense?
Completely. And I think they're such good tips. And I'm with you at the beginning. You know, I knew nothing. And I think it's about educating yourself, one, but then, right, seeking out resources and talking to other people that are doing it successfully too. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And it goes with your networking goal. Just like talk to people. People are willing to help if you reach out. You know, I would give people advice if they DM me for sure.
Absolutely. So Nicole, DJ Rosé, what is next for you? Is there anything coming up that you want to touch on or share with the audience?
Well, you know what? That just changes every week in COVID. So that would be a hard thing to answer. But I mean, obviously, when this is over, I'm going to be excited to get back behind the turntables again. I do miss throwing a good party. There's just like, there's this party girl side to me that not everybody knows, but the people who know, they know. So I can't wait to bring that back out. But yeah, I think, you know, we're just taking it one step at a time. And I think the podcast is really our biggest focus right now.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. On the DJ note, can you drop like maybe a favorite artist or song or something that you're listening to that is like lifting you up lately?
So everyone asks me that, and that's a funny thing to answer as a DJ, because as a DJ, literally your job is to love lots of music. So I don't have like a favorite song or artist. And if I did, I would play it so much I'd get sick of it, and then it would be bad for the audience. But what I can tell you is that I keep a playlist called Babe Vibes. It's on my Spotify. I update it every single week with new tracks from emerging artists, with new tracks from current artists that you know about, like things that I think are hot and soulful and sexy. So it's like, it's all good feels. It's all positive, good feeling music, nothing that puts down women or, you know, leaves you feeling like you need a good cry afterward. This is all uplifting, happy vibes in the Babe Vibes playlist. Awesome. And you guys can find me on Instagram at DJ Nicole Rosé. And you can find the podcast at SupBabePod on Instagram or in Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen.
Amazing. Nicole, thank you so much for coming on today. It was so fun to chat with you.
This was the best. Thank you so much for having me, Emily. And I'm so excited to keep supporting each other on our journeys.
Sounds good. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please share with a friend, tag us on Insta @TheBigMovePodcast. We always love to hear your feedback, and we will catch you on a next episode.